Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Hearn joining you as we get things kicked off for Monday. Finally, it was just time for football, or at least football practice at Penn State. That didn't stop all the questions and all the discussion about players leaving or staying, but at least Coach O'Brien got the focus on football. Said he got up this morning, really couldn't sleep at all, got up in the wee hours of the morning, somewhere around, must have been close to 4 o'clock, and got everybody going. He said he got into the office. There were even coaches there before him. They were so excited to get things started. And they got started really early this morning before 6 o'clock. It was like kind of like the Army. They did more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day. And that was the case at Penn State on the turf outside the Latch building. So we'll hear from Steve with more about that. And we'll also get you up to date on who stays, who goes, and or who is going, I should say. Of course, we'll get everything going on with the Olympics, too. And if you're ready for a spoiler, I have one for you. There will be no medal bar for the all-around champ, Gabby Douglas, the flying squirrel, shut out of the medals in the uneven bars. That's her specialty. And, of course, last night, Mikaela ended up with a silver medal on the vault after falling on the second vault. So that's where things stand as of the moment with the Olympic gymnast. And, of course, we'll talk more about all the Olympics going on. The big talk of the weekend, though, when it comes to Olympics, and you know I'm a huge Olympics fan, was the fact that something we talked about earlier in the week is Michael Phelps the best Olympian ever or just the most decorated Olympian ever? And there's a lot of debate about that. And it's a good debate, too. I mean, it's kind of hard to compare some sports to others. I mean, there's more opportunities in swimming than there would be in, say, I'm just pulling out a sport that doesn't have many opportunities, than fencing or badminton or table tennis. I mean, there's only one opportunity there. There's not five or six different events. Track and field would be a good comparison, and most people feel that there's a few track and field members or gold medal winners that would actually edge out Michael Phelps as the best Olympian or the best Olympian of all time. You can say the most decorated Olympian. There's no question about that. But the best Olympian, that's up for debate. And the most decorated Olympian was on NBC the other night and said emphatically that there will be no Rio games for him, as at least as far as being in the pool. As a matter of fact, he probably won't even get in the pool now for several months to maybe even longer. And I guess when you've been swimming as long as he has, you probably do want a little bit of a break from the pool. And I heard him joking earlier today on the Dan Patrick Show. One of the things that may not happen is if he finds someone in the next several years and settles down, they may not even have they may buy a house without a swimming pool just because he's been in the pool so long. He said, you know, I've stared at the line on the bottom of the pool for so long that he was ready for it to go away. So most decorated Olympian of all time has officially called it quits, at least for now anyway. And does that mean Rowdy Gaines probably has his some competition when it comes to commentary in 4 years?
Who's this?
I was with Tish now when it comes to color commentary for swimming in the Rio Games if Phelps doesn't decide to come back, which he says he won't.
Well, Rowdy Gaines is pretty good, though.
He is. He's really good.
But if
Phelps says, hey, I'm kind of interested, how does NBC not find a spot for him?
I think that's one of those things you have to test them out. You just can't put people out there. I think we've found that over and over and over again. That when you just throw somebody out there, you can't get it done. It's not as easy. You know, like this guy one time came up to me. I think it was the Outback Bowl. He looked at me and says, I could do your job. And I looked at the guy point blank and said, no, you couldn't.
And he just sat there. He stood there for a minute,
No, no. He said, no, I could definitely do your job. I said, no, you can't. I said, in fact, I would enjoy myself 5 minutes listening to you attempt.
So were you up early with everyone else?
Yes, I was. I was at the full practice. I wasn't at the last 20 minutes. I did the full thing.
I figured you would be.
And I have the only one-on-one with Bill O'Brien.
There were a lot of microphones and cameras there.
Yeah, there was that part, but that's not the part we're airing. We're going to air my interview with him. So I talked to him afterward. He and I went back into the training room and sat down and spent.
From some of his comments to the media in general, you could tell he was rather happy to just be talking football.
Well, yeah, talking. We still get asked about players leaving and things like that. I mean, I didn't bother with that. I think you don't know what the answers are by now. So we'll have the one-on-one with Bill O'Brien at 3:35. We'll repeat it at 4:45. So, and I'll give you a quick rundown of what I saw. Number one, the freshmen were not out there this morning. The freshmen were inside doing a lift and acclimation. This is not an NCAA rule. No, it's not an NCAA rule. It used to be period first, and then, so it was always the change. Well, the offense he wants, he'd rather have them take, I think it's 3 days, to acclimate themselves to their way of doing things, even though they've been here all summer. But still, the coaches now get to spend full time with them. So, and you have to remember, the freshmen are also going to class. I mean, they're here because they've already started classes. Classes are not over with at Penn State. They don't end until, I think, Wednesday this week. So he wants them to spend those 3 days today, tomorrow, Wednesday. They have separate. They'll have a separate work tonight. I think they go at 7:30 tonight. They will spend time with them. So that's why, for example, didn't get a chance, for example, to see like Akeel Lynch or anybody like that. So I can't tell you what they can and can't do. I just know what their numbers are at this particular stage. But I can give you a rundown of where things stand, unless Kevin wants to talk about handball.
No, I think it might be good to hear what you have to say about that. Right. And we can talk about handball later.
Right. Michael Phelps as an announcer? You know, I'll digress for one moment. Okay. I played golf with a guy Saturday that beat Michael Phelps in the pool when he was 15 years old.
In Sydney or out or before the Olympics?
Before the Olympics, okay. They were at the Baltimore. It was in Baltimore. It was a swim meet in Baltimore, and he beat him. Mark Rubin played in the Penn State football team as a safety, wide receiver first, then a safety.
There's something to put on a resume.
He's making deep six figures right now.
Doesn't need that extra?
I don't really think he needs that on his resume at this moment. Ruben's making some hard cash right now, okay?
You know, I was thinking as I was watching Missy Franklin in an interview, too, the female Michael Phelps is what everybody's calling her in her first Olympics. Here's a senior in high school. Can you imagine if she swims at her high school looking down the lane and seeing – you know, someone who just won 3 gold medals going, that's it. I'm just going to jump in the water, just coast, and come back for the second place.
Well, I think you noticed they don't swim in their high school meets.
No. I was just thinking that, though.
They need to be pushed, and you can't get pushed in a high school meet. They're too good for that. You know, it doesn't do them any good.
Right. No, I was just thinking how intimidating that would be if that were to happen, but...
Well, you're only intimidated if you let you affect you. If they're just better than you are, they're better than you are. But if it doesn't bother you, you know, they may still beat you, but...
It would bother me. I'd be intimidated.
No, wouldn't think twice about it. Wouldn't think twice. So, let's get to the football part of it now. This is what I saw on day one. As the sun rose over Mount Nittany. And this is the only early morning practice they have scheduled in the preseason. Everything else is scheduled for 9:30 or 2:30 or 4:30 or 7:30. Whenever they have a 9:30 and it's a two-a-day, they'll have a 7:30. There are some days that they'll have 4:30s, and some days they'll have 2:30s. Like, there's a scrimmage one day at a 2:30, okay? So that's the time that they're going. Today was the first day. It was the only day they have scheduled at 6:30 in the morning. Okay? And Bill came up to me this morning and made note of the fact that I did a ball game last night that late and that I was there in the morning. So he asked openly where you were. I
said, yeah, I'm sure he did.
I used the words, no guts, no glory.
Oh.
Well, you also just admitted now you can be intimidated.
Yeah, by somebody who won 3 Olympic medals.
I don't care about pool and swim.
Yeah, brother.
Why? Why would I get intimidated by that?
You're trying to tell me that if you were going up against an Olympic champion 3 times over, you your mind once.
No.
I don't believe that.
Excuse me. Do you want to know the number? I mean, you do know I did a half-hour sit-down with Michael Phelps 4 years ago, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He came to State College. It was an event. I was the MC of the event. He was the guest of honor.
Well, I'm not saying you'd be intimidated to interview them.
But I don't think about those things. I don't expect them to come in the booth. I would expect people to come in the booth with me and be comfortable because I don't expect them to do what I do. Okay?
All right.
Say vice versa. If I go into their level of their comfort area, I don't expect them to look down on me. Intimidation is them looking down on you.
No, all right. Well, I didn't look at it that way. I'm just saying it would be intimidating for myself, not because of anything that they do to intimidate me. I'd be intimidated just by the fact that I was going up against a 3-time gold medalist. Easily impressed, too, so.
Now, football-wise, all right, let's start at quarterback. Matt McGloin, it's just one practice, and he had, they all had ups and downs, but he looked the best of anybody. Jones is next, and then it's Shane McGregor. Now, you have to get other quarterbacks into the mix here. So at some point, Garrett Venuto is going to get in the mix, and Stephen Bench, the freshman, obviously will get into the mix. Now, you're saying, well, why do you need 5? You need 5 because you throw a lot of footballs in the preseason. You need the reps that Venuto will take and the Bench will take will be fewer throws than McGloin and Jones have to make, okay? Because you don't want them getting a tired arm from overwork. Simple as that. So the quarterback spot, okay, we all knew coming out of the spring what it was going to be like. You're minus Rob Bolden, but... I hope Rob desperately needs to sit out a year. I can tell you that right now. He needs to sit out so badly and just take in what's going on at LSU. If he can, again, he throws a beautiful ball. But McGloin, Jones, Gregor, they're the first 3. Then after that, you fill in with Venuto and Jones, okay? All right, Venuto and Bench. Tailback. Bill Belton looks really good at that tailback spot. He'll be fine. Yes, Curtis Dukes was out there today. All right. And then you have Derek Day, Zach Swinack, Darren Thompson. Now, Akeel Lynch. You're saying, oh, Akeel Lynch. Akeel Lynch was with the freshmen practice field today. They're going through their acclimation. They'll have a little work that they'll do tonight. Okay. So I'm anxious, like you are, to see Akeel Lynch. Fullback, Zordage. I mean, Zordy's going to be good no matter what you do. Yeah, but you also have P.J. Byers. And also, Pat Zerbe is back, whom I really liked a lot until he tore his knee up. All right, now we'll get to the wide receivers in a moment. Do we still have to take a break here, Kevin?
Yes, we do.
Okay, then we will take a break. This is the Monday Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com for the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Let It Be Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to ask me what I saw today in practice, and I don't mean what everybody else saw in the last 20 minutes, I'll talk about it. Give us a call. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you up front for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Kind of wasteful, right? It's time you could have been spending browsing the inventory and services you will always find at sunburymotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them. And you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Steve Jones talking Penn State football. Kevin Herr, man crush, Michael Phelps.
Man admiration.
Yeah. You didn't know I interviewed Phelps, huh?
I didn't know that, no.
Man, it was September 2008.
I mean, I knew he had visited the region, but I did not know that.
Had a long sit-down with him because I was the MC of the events that he was doing.
Was that before or after Beijing?
After. He just won the 8 gold medals. So it was like 2 weeks later.
What? Nothing.
You seem stunned.
No, I kind of wish I had a chance to interview him. It would have been fun.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's fine. He's, you know, relatively articulate. And well, I mean,
relatively,
you know,
articulate.
Well, he is. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to sit there and say he's the greatest orator I ever talked to. You know, but he's fairly well spoken, and you know, I mean, he was only 23 years old at the time.
Prove something, though, that I've known for a long time is Bob Costas has nothing on you.
Why is that?
Because Bob Costas has interviewed Michael Phelps.
Yeah, well, a lot more than I have. I have my one shot.
So how early did you get to practice this morning? Because Coach O'Brien was talking about not being able to sleep last night, getting into practice about 4:45, or getting into the office, and most of his staff was already there.
I got there at 6:30.
You could sleep last night.
Easily.
Yeah, he was saying about how he couldn't really sleep, but everybody was kind of excited, and then they got everybody. I guess they got all the players in there about 5:45?
Yes.
Oof. Mm-hmm. That's early.
It's fine. It's the only one they're doing at that hour. It's the only one. I have the full practice schedule between now and Ohio University. In fact, I have the full practice schedule between now and Wisconsin.
They already have that set out between now and Wisconsin?
Well, once you get started, Kevin, once the games start, practice is the same time every day.
No, you can kind of get into a routine and then look at it that way.
No, because they have classes. There's only certain times you can practice. So practice every day during the season is 4:30.
How many guys take a lighter schedule during football season than they would all
season? It's a mixed bag, to be honest with you. Take McGloin. Remember how we had McGloin in the show?
Right.
Competition wouldn't have him, didn't have his phone number. And he was talking about how he's taking graduate classes. And usually if you take like 6 credits, you're fine. He's taking 12.
Wow. See, that's the thing that gets overshadowed, I think, a lot of times, not only at the college level, but the high school level, is the amount of time it takes not only for practice games, but also keep your grades so you're eligible.
All right. Well, that's a big part of it. That's why the 87% grad. I mean, I know we have an awful, awful, terrible, disgusting culture here. I mean, it's, I've had that told to me repeatedly on national shows. And, even though players graduated in 87, I want to tell you right now, I talked to the football letterman. I spoke to them on Saturday night. The subject of the football culture here and where it fits into the university, not a happy group.
I can imagine.
Because they've lived through it. They know. And that part really bugs them. We are going to start getting, by the way, Letterman on the show. Shane Conlon, John Schaefer, people like that, they've already consented to be on the show.
It's a shame you just can't get anybody that anybody knows on this program.
Yeah, and Murray Chass. We're going to get Murray Chass on, too, pretty soon. We're working on, Phil Esposito, because of the miracle, the Soviet-Canadian series from 40 years ago.
Right.
Working on Phil. We're trying to get Paul Henderson, but he's suffering from cancer. So that's why the Henderson thing's been tough for me to pull off. And then Jay Billis we're working on, and Mike Emmerich in September, and then Mike Breen. Not bad.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, day one football practice. I'll get back to running down what happened during the course of practice today and where certain parts of the puzzle fit in. And where there's a couple of potential problems that have to be dealt with. First of all, I had an opportunity back in the training room with Bill O'Brien to sit down and spend just a few minutes talking about the opening day of practice and what he sees.
Okay, how did it feel to get out there with your football team that's committed to what you want to do?
It felt great. And, we've got a great group of kids that care about each other and care about our coaching staff, and they're committed to coming out here and practicing hard and doing it efficiently. And I thought it was a good start. It wasn't all pretty, but that's the first practice. That's kind of what happens on the first day of practice. And now we just got to get better tomorrow.
Are you sensing after coming off the spring that guys have things down better than they did at the end of the spring?
Definitely. I felt good about last night's meeting, offense, defense, special teams. You know, I felt good that our guys were ready to go and they knew what to expect today, and they came out here and did a much better job with their assignments, and now we just got to clean some things up, but I definitely feel we're ahead of where we left off.
As a Penn State football family, and you met with the Letterman on Tuesday night, and then there were about 150 of them I was around on Saturday night. To see that kind of support and, and what stays in the room, it stays in the room. But still, to see that kind of pure support, what does that mean for these guys as well as you?
Again, I think that says a lot about the Penn State football program, the Penn State football family. These guys that played here have a lot of pride in this place, and they appreciate their degrees, and they appreciate the success that they had on the football field, and they want to pass their and share their experience on to the with these current players, and so it was a really great night.
Do you have to play some games with some numbers right now in terms of how certain things are done out in this practice field? For example, John Butler at one point's down to six DBs, and Adrian's switching between corner and safety. How about that part?
Got to do a great job of limiting reps and just having good quality reps and not a million reps, so that these guys are fresh when September 1st rolls around. And we'll do that. We won't get into too many two-a-days. You know, we'll have one practice a day, then a walkthrough at night, that type of routine. But, you know, right now we got to take a really good temperature every day of our football team, and that's what we'll do.
What about the hitting part? I mean, how much do you want to hit? I mean, you know, based on what you have.
You got to hit a little bit so that your team is ready to go when September 1st rolls around, but you can't overdo it. You can't have the 150-play scrimmage that we had in the spring, but at the same time, you got to get some hitting in. So when the padded practices come around, we'll have one team period where we're hitting, and then maybe some other team periods where we're tagging off and we're not hitting as much. So we'll do a good job of tracking that.
Lucky are you to have a staff that is as organized as it is.
Yeah. This is a staff that's a veteran staff, been around a lot of great football, and I really, you know, I'm excited about this staff. We lean on each other, and we're committed to each other, and it's a really fun staff to be around.
And for you, how did it feel just to go out and coach football? Because you have had to do a lot of other things.
Yeah, no, it felt great. That's, you know, at the end of the day, they pay me to do a lot of things, but they pay me primarily to coach football. So, so you know, I really enjoyed it this morning. And, again, it's just great to be around these kids.
They paid me to announce I'm done for the day.
Thanks, Bill.
Miles, I'll have some fun. Again, he asked where you were, and I said not committed.
Doesn't know me from Adam.
In fact, there were a couple times he referred to you as Adam.
Yeah, that's more than I figured he'd refer to me. So.
Yeah.
You can actually hear the relief in his voice that he's actually talking about X's and O's.
Yeah, well, I understand.
I mean, I really believe that. I mean, you just, it's like, oh, thank you for asking me a football question.
Right. So, we'll repeat that at 4:35 for those who didn't hear it. Plus, I'm sure the Purdy Insurance people will be thrilled. Because they're our sponsor today, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 to 15, Humblesworth. The Lenape Solar Hotline's open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. So whatever questions you have, I'll answer them.
Well, you went through the running backs. That's what I was going to ask about.
Well, remember, what was it? Some guy emailed in or something, like I was filibustering or something like that when report was released. Yeah. I haven't taken a vacation this year, okay? I have not been off one day. Zero. Got a toll-free number if you want to get involved. We got email, Facebook. We have all sorts of avenues here. Twitter. Maybe tomorrow I'll just go to practice and tweet. What do you think?
I'll believe it when I see it. I will ask you this. Are we past, I've heard this from a lot of people this weekend that have asked me the question. I said, you know what, I'll ask that on Monday. Are we past the transfer stage now?
Nope.
Okay.
A player can transfer. If a player wants to transfer next week, they can. They want to transfer the week after, they can. If they don't play in the first game, they can.
Really?
If they don't play in the second game, they can. If they don't play in the third game, they can. But,
oh, man. But that's right. I forgot. I remember what you're
the
going to
second do. They step on the field.
Right.
One play in the field, can't transfer the season.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but technically, if they don't happen to play all year and decide to transfer next June, they still can. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Because they can
play this year and still transfer next year.
Wow.
And my understanding, now Fran Ganter and I had a debate about that today. And I said it goes up to the first practice of next year.
Right, I remember you saying that.
And I believe strongly that is what it is. He thought it went longer than that. And I said, I don't think so. I said, I think it's the first practice of next year. Then after that, they have to sit out a year.
How could it go longer? How could you justify making it longer? Well, that's a different question.
How could you justify any of this? I don't see one thing here.
Coming.
There is not one thing here that justifies this. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And as I said a couple of last week, the NCAA has just created free agency in college football.
I mean, but they go through this training camp. Penn State has what now? 25 days to go before the opener?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, in this next 25 days, until somebody puts on a uniform, I mean, until they step on the field, they can transfer. You don't play in the first game, you transfer. So let me give you a hint. There are going to be a lot of guys playing in the opener. Okay?
Yeah, well, that's a way to get around it. You're right.
It's not a way to get around it. That's the sensible thing to do.
I know, but I'm just saying.
That's the sensible thing to do. At that point, you play, you're in, you're done, okay? You know, the rest of the season, you don't even worry about that nonsense, okay? So guys blow off red shirts. Okay, fine. Then once I get to camp next year, you can start playing some games with the numbers on your team. But.
I don't know. And I'm going to say this because I feel it's okay for me to say it. It may not be as all right for you to say it, but I question some university, not university, but coaches' ethics and programs' ethics here when you decide to look at a player because of sanctions and a guy you didn't even recruit in the first place, and now all of a sudden you're looking at him going, maybe we should look at him now that Penn State's got some issues. Maybe we can get him to transfer. And it happens. I find that very strange.
Kevin, if I'm a head football coach, and even if I'm not succeeding, okay, I don't touch another team's players.
Well, this is a guy that only verbally committed. I'll say that.
Yeah, well, I'm not worried about that. But, I'm saying that.
Well, no, I know what you're saying, but why, if you didn't like him the first time, all of a sudden do you like him better now? What made that? What changed your mind?
I don't know, but I'm saying that I'm a head coach. Recruiting's one thing, all right? But going after existing players, I'd have told my coaches, hey, you're not going to State College. And a kid calls us on his own.
That's different.
Would like to talk to us? I'll talk to him.
Yep.
Not you guys. I'll talk to him. Okay? But then I'm going to call Bill O'Brien. I'm going to say, look, X called me. I want to know what you think. Right? And if he tells me, hey, you know, blah, 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 I'd say, Bill, that's good enough for me. We won't touch him. Or if Bill says to me, he says, you know what, to be honest with you, Steve, you know, I'm coaching another team. So I'll be honest with you, Steve. He's probably going to be like, you know, he's not going to play a lot for us. He might play a lot more for you. And it might be good for him if he does. Okay. Now that sways my thinking. But if a kid contacted my program, I personally would be the one as the head coach to talk to him. But then I would call Bill O'Brien and tell him that he did contact me, and this is what he said and why. And I wanted to talk to you about this.
But I think that's a totally different situation if the player contacts the coach instead of the other way around.
But I would still contact Bill and tell Bill that he called me, and here's what he said. All right? He wants to come here. I want to talk to you about it. You know, what are your thoughts? Well, you know, he's going to be a key guy for us. Blah, blah. Okay, Bill, good enough. We won't take him. That's what I tell him. Or he'd say, hey, look, you know, hey, Jonesy, he's going to be struggling to get reps. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I know you don't have a lot of wideouts. Blah, blah, blah. But for us, he'll be, you know, maybe he'll get 25 plays a game. He might get 70 for you. Okay. Different scenario. But to go in and, you know, my thought is look, if I'm a 4A football team, okay, I'm the reason I'm a 4A football team. The kids I recruited are the reason I'm a 4A football team. And I already went, no, but.
I know. It's just funny the way it sounds, but you're right. I get it.
Right. The kids I recruited are the reason they're a 4A football team. okay, because I recruited them. They didn't pan out. Maybe we're not coaching them up, or maybe they're not as talented as we thought they were. Okay? So I'm not going to sit there in late July. I'm just going to say, look, I'm going to go to war with what I have and improve it. I am not going to go poach somebody else's players in July. It's one thing to have a guy legally transfer into your program as part of national letter of intent because they have an open scholarship. You know, January, that's when transfers happen, January. That's different. So now you're going to go through this season, and in this season, September 1st, they get on the field, okay, then you get to November 24th with Wisconsin. I can tell you, starting November 25th, they're all fair game again. They're all fair game.
Who protects the poor kid who loses his scholarship because of this now?
Oh, come on. Now, that's the next part. The next part is right now, schools with 85 scholarships, if they take a Penn State kid, can compete with 86 or 87, you know, if they happen to take two. So everybody took one. So Florida State can compete with 86. Buckley's not a scholarship guy. Nowicki, 86 at Illinois. Whatever. Brown would give 86 at Oklahoma. Farrah, 86. USC had to stay at 75 no matter what. Now, is that fair?
I don't think so.
Of course not.
I think that's an advantage for them over anybody who didn't decide to, and I'll use the term poach.
I mean, I'm sorry. This is wrong on so many levels. It's stunning.
No, wait a minute. The NCAA thought this out very well, according to their statement. And that silence proves my point. All right.
This is wrong on every level. It's wrong on every level. Especially for something where legally it's not even settled. It's not even close to being settled yet.
No, not even in the ballpark of being settled.
I mean, but then again, when it came to the situation with the Virginia lacrosse situation, Virginia lacrosse, we can't step in there. It's a legal situation. What? I mean, well. I think I've made my points very, very clear over the recent weeks.
But football started now.
Football started. I want to talk football. Okay? I mean, I'll talk about it, whatever issues anybody wants, but I have a lot to talk about with the football team. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. We will come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKO. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Are we too American-centered in our coverage of the Olympics? I mean, what country are you supposed to cover? I mean, to be honest with you, yesterday Italy was playing Russia in women's volleyball. I looked at it and went, that's off. I don't want to watch that.
I don't know either one of them.
But I'm saying I don't want to watch it.
Well, I mean, I'd watch it if I knew who they were.
I don't want to watch it. I want to watch it if it's the United States on there.
Right.
Okay, I want to watch coverage of our team. Yeah, I don't want to watch it. Just like there are times I don't want to watch the Winnipeg Jets play the Edmonton Oilers. I'd rather see the Penguins play somebody.
However, in NBC's defense, as I've said before, they are offering those other games on some other of their network channels.
This is not anything for them to defend themselves over. Not in the least. All right, not in the least. Okay. I'm just saying I don't want to watch it.
Well, but in prime time, I want to see the U.S. people.
Yeah, but I don't want to watch it, okay?
Right.
Even in prime time, I don't want to see it.
No, I agree. You
can tell me later whether Italy beat Russia. That's fine. But I want to watch us. And I want to watch the Americans. Okay, last night, Usain Bolt, they've done a great job in making a personality out of him, which is that's their job. They're supposed to do that. But Bolt winning was exciting to watch. But Gatlin finished third, and that was great to watch. That was a race. I thought the single most electric moment of the Olympics, from what I saw, the single most electric moment not involving the Americans. And I think it was more electric than Phelps, more electric than the Fab Five, was Andy Murray beating Roger Federer yesterday.
100% agree.
I mean, it was electric. Number one, you're on center court at Wimbledon. It's a totally different, as Vern Lundquist said in Happy Gilmore, an economically diverse crowd.
And it was a lot. It was a lot noisier crowd than is normal for Wimbledon.
I mean.
You know,
it was
you're
exciting.
Right.
Yeah. It was.
It wasn't the dignified crowd. You know, okay.
There was one Sunday they were forced to play one Sunday at Wimbledon about 10 years ago. Right? The players said it was the greatest experience they ever went through that Sunday, because the average guy got in, was sitting in seats they never had sit in before. Remember when the King Dome roof, part of the ceiling tiles came down, and the Mariners were forced to play on the road the rest of the season?
Right.
Right. So what people did was that, for example, like I take Fenway Park. They made every seat at Fenway Park $20. Every seat. I don't care if you're sitting in the box seat, the bleachers, every seat was $20. And they gave the money to charity. Okay? The Mariners and every team they faced that was in the same situation, they said it was the greatest experience they ever had playing because the crowd was different. The crowd was different. There was enthusiasm, juice, people sitting in spots I've ever sat before. What a lovely, well done, nice drop shot. Yes, that was well played. Right, you got the guys, the Joe Sixpack. Yeah, man, way to put it in there. It's great.
Yeah, normally you hear maybe one or two screams right before the serve starts or right before play starts. There was like, it was like almost every time yesterday. I mean, that's the difference in the crowd.
It was center court Wimbledon. And number one, they're not wearing white, which was really cool. It's the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club. I don't know where the croquet part is. But to see Wimbledon alive like that, colorful, and someone from Great Britain in a sport that they love. And the British are always so stoic and staid. No, 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 no. There was genuine juice in the joint. Terrific. It was terrific. Now, that was the single most electric moment of the Olympics.
But if it wasn't for two names you'd recognize, would you have watched it, though?
Well, I watched it because it was Federer against Murray.
But right, that's my point. And that was the point I was trying to make earlier. I would watch it if it weren't an American in there that I knew.
Yeah, but this is a different situation than other sports, okay? Tennis.
It's a more broad, a mainstream. Yeah.
Tennis, a mainstream sport. It would be, for example, they put golf in the Olympics and Tiger Woods were out there representing the United States, like the Ryder Cup, okay?
Right.
I'd watch. I know who Federer and Murray are. I don't know who DeCampo is for Italy. I don't care. Okay? So is it too much emphasis on the Americans? It's our country. I want to watch our country play.
It's our network.
Today we have an exciting match between New Zealand and South Africa. Oh, I wonder if Boy Meets World's on.